Okay, good evening, everyone, to the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. I'd like to call to order the meeting, but first we would like to note that Commissioner Hale and Commissioner Munoz is not here today, so we need to have a nomination to get some feedback to elect a chair for today's meeting. Can I?
Yes, I would like to nominate Commissioner Crowley to chair today's meeting.
And I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, so next we have any commissioner reports and announcements.
Yes. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Halloween on October the 31st. The young kids that come out, I'd like their parents to go along with them and be sure that you take a flashlight because a lot of our streets are very dark. We've had this problem before. But if you carry a flashlight, the people that are driving their cars will see you. And I'd like to remind you that don't forget to vote on Election Day, which is November the 2nd. You can see on your tablets where to go vote. Be sure you read those. And November the 7th will be daylight saving time, so be sure you change your clocks to fall back. That's it.
Okay, anybody else?
No.
Okay.
I do have one announcement, if I could, please.
Sure.
Chair Crowley, thank you. The Morro Bay Community Foundation will be sponsoring their second annual concert, and this one's entitled Morro Bay Sings the Beatles. And it'll be right here at Morro Bay Veterans Memorial Building, 209 Surf Street. The date is November the 6th, which is Saturday. The doors open at 5, and the music begins at 7. We're going to have delicious salads and breads and from the galley. So great food from the galley being served. It's a very reasonable price. Tickets in advance are $20, and at the door there are $30. And we've got some flyers out and posters out. And if you're interested in showing up and supporting the foundation, give the community center a call at 772-6278. And we'll let you know how to get a ticket. Again, that's November the 6th. Morro Bay Sings the Beatles right here in Morro Bay. Thank you.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And Joe, would you emphasize again where the money goes to?
All the proceeds from the concert will go to the Morro Bay Foundation directly into our scholarship fund, and the scholarship fund is a direct credit to those who apply for scholarships, families throughout the Estero Bay, Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. Anyone who wants to participate in recreational programs, kids club programs, sports programs, will be offered a scholarship if they're eligible, based on income. And it's about 20% of the cost of the program. So we're trying to help out those who can't afford the full tuition to some of our programs. You can apply for a scholarship. You can get some relief and get your child participating. So if you're interested, again, give us a call at the community center. We have applications for scholarships there. Support the concert, which supports the kids and the families throughout our community.
Nice. That provides a really good opportunity for people in Morro Bay and close by. Okay, now I'd like to open up the public comment period. Is there any members of the audience who are wishing to address the commission?
Good evening. My name is Neil Farrell. I'm the president of the Morro Bay Public Art Foundation. We are here to present a proposal to do a public art project at the bus stop in City Park. The RTA bus stop. I've got some renderings here. I'll just put them up on the... They do have the packet? Okay. As you can see, we're going to have on the outside, the top photo is what it looks like now. The bottom photo is a rendering of what we're proposing to do. It's sort of a beach shoreline scene on the outside. And then on the inside... It's going to be like you're underwater. The top is what it looks like now, and on the bottom is sort of a kelp forest. and it'll have fish and jellyfish and all the other critters that you might find in a kelp forest. It's going to start on the floor so that when you're standing inside, it'll look like you're in the middle of the water table looking down towards the seafloor and then following the kelp as it goes up to the top. And there's a pyramid-shaped skylight on top, so it'll kind of like be the sun. You know, that's how we're envisioning it. And here's another rendering. And as you can see, all the benches will be refinished and painted so that they're part of the artwork as well. And basically, Morbay Public Art Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit public benefit corporation here in town. We're proposing this project in conjunction with the city, the RTA, Regional Transportation Authority. The way this came about is I was in contact with Amy from the RTA, and she had mentioned that they were contemplating replacing that bus stop. And, I proposed to her that instead of replacing it, that we just fix it up. Let's spruce it up. Let's turn it into a work of art. We feel it's very appropriate location since this is where they have Art in the Park, which is like the premier art, event in our town, probably the whole county, 3 times a year. And she was very receptive to it. They've tentatively pledged $4,000. We're hoping to get more, but we're going to try at least get that much from them. We've got some money, and we're going to try and raise some other money. I've got a grant that I'm going to apply for with the Community Foundation. They've supported us before on several other projects here in town, and we're pretty confident that it'll happen again. The artists, our local artists, Kim Hickson, Ann Godsey, and Jeff O'Dell, and they've been around here a long time. Ann's got an amazing amount of experience doing murals, over 100, and Jeff has done two for us, plus he's done a couple of art cans with Morbay Beautiful around town. And this is Dana's first mural, but these designs here, she does these amazing jellyfish that are almost translucent. They're very beautiful. Got a lot of work to do on this building. Prepping it's going to be a lot of work. We're going to have to completely clean and power wash the building inside and out, patch holes, and primer the thing inside and out. We use a special paint. It's an acrylic paint, and it's manufactured by a company called Nova Color, and it's guaranteed to never fade. It has this UV protecting things in it. We've used it exclusively on all of our projects here in town, and it was also the paint that was used for the art can projects. Basically, this is the first time that we've had to go through this public art policy with the city. All of our other projects were on private property. And so this is kind of all new territory, so I'm not exactly sure what we are asking of you guys. Basically, we just want to run it by you and show you the artwork just to make sure that you know that there isn't going to be something that might be construed as out of taste or bad taste, you know, mermaids with no tops on, that kind of a thing. Basically, we'd like to propose this to you guys. Everybody seems to be on board with it. And if you have any questions, I guess I can answer them. Doesn't seem to be anybody else here tonight, so I'm at your disposal.
Well, we appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
Okay.
Anybody have any comments?
It's a nice-looking picture. It should improve that a lot. Looks very good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm not real good at graphics, but I can lay one picture over another fairly easily. And as I said, this one, it stops where it does because that's the extent of the renderings that we were given, but it's actually going to continue up into the top of the inside. So it'll be really cool when it's done. It's going to require some logistics to take care of, you know, because we're going to have to close it off to the public while we're working on it. So we'll have to bring in some benches or something to have another bus stop. But there's plenty of room there. We shouldn't have any problems with it, I don't think. We'll be getting I assume we're going to need an encroachment permit to do this work. Yeah.
How long do you see it taking?
Prep work, probably no more than a day or two. As far as the painting goes, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. Some artists can get them done really quick, and others take time. You know, Jeff – when he did his first mural on the Back Bay Salon across from Bottle Liquor by the one with the moon and the boats and the water and stuff. It took about 3 weeks to do that. Mm. But he was doing it by himself. He had no help, and it was huge. It's really tall. So it was tough. It was a tough job. I'm hoping with the three of them that they can probably bang it out in a week, maybe 2 weeks, I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's a heavily trafficked area, so yeah.
Yeah, I ride that bus a couple times a week because I like riding the bus. But and it, you know, they when they said that they were talking about replacing it, I thought, you know, we're cutting bus routes out, we're increasing fares, money's disappearing and stuff. Why spend, I don't know, $20,000-$30,000 knocking the thing down and putting up another one? When just, you know, for $4,000 we can give it new life, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And we're gonna offer those up for memorial benches.
Mm. Nice.
City, when somebody buys a bench for a memorial bench, it costs like $1,200, but they have to buy the bench, get it installed, get the plaque and everything. Benches are already here, so basically you just be buying a plaque that we would install on the bench, and then the plaques are like $250 to $280. So anything above that would go towards the project itself. And you would, if somebody buys one of these for a loved one that's passed, they would get their name on the dedication plaque that we're going to put on it. And anybody else who wants to donate, just give me a call at the Bay News, or my number at home is 772-8291 if you're interested. I'm going to probably need some volunteers too, but we'll use the newspaper to put the word out on that kind of stuff. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close public comment.
All right, I'd like to close the public comment and make a motion to approve our next items on the agenda, which is I'd like to ask to accept A1 through A3.
I second that.
And, well, okay, I guess I'm the one who made a motion. I didn't mean to make the motion.
Okay.
Am I allowed to make the motion?
We look for another motion for all consent, and pull any consent items, and then approve the rest.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's see. Okay, now I'd like to turn it over to Joe Woods.
Thank you, Chair Crowley. A4, is there a specific item in A4? This is the Recreation Parks Department status update, which covers all of our divisions and activities.
Yes, I'd like to discuss the civic landscape improvements and then also the Lila Kaiser Park.
I certainly can address that. The Civic Landscape Improvement Program is something that was started with staff and an intern from Cal Poly. And that was several months ago. Earlier in the summer, just after the summer, we started the program. The intern, Russell Character, came through Cal Poly, and he designed the landscaping in front of the community center and the library and around City Hall and Public Works. And then once that plan was basically adopted by staff, then we presented some things to the tree committee, and the tree committee kind of tweaked it around a little bit with some recommendations. Staff listened to them. We tweaked it around a little bit. And right now what we have is a revamping of the planters. A lot of problems with the trunks, the splitting of the trunks, and just, they look like they're just not really healthy trees. We replaced those trees this last weekend through an urban forest program with the tree committee's help. A lot of volunteers came out, and I won't get into the list of all of them, but it's quite a few organizations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, 4-H, I didn't mean to get into them, but there was quite a few. And we all came out Saturday. We did a major tree planting in the community center, the library, and in the city hall area. The trees we put in were down the center. There are red trunk. There are Arbutus marina, which is a strawberry tree. We feel that they've done really well in this area and will continue to do well for us. And they're connecting the library to the community center. That whole walkway is Arbutus Marina. Around the perimeters, we have California live oak, and also the Channel Island oak. We didn't get any of the Channel Island oaks in, but we have air spaces for them. And underneath the oak trees and also the Arbutus marina trees, we'll be putting in lemonade berry and coffee berry. So that is the next phase of the program, is to put in some shrubbery that's about medium height, which will be right up next to the building and at the entranceways to the community center and parking lot. And then also we're going to be doing the planters around City Hall, planters around the police department, around the dial-a-ride. So the program continues, and I'm glad you mentioned that it's not a project. It is a program. It's ongoing. We were very fortunate to get 100 trees at no cost to the city through this program. And they all were delivered a week ago, and so we got to put in a lot of them this weekend. So I would say we put in, I don't have a hard number for you, but I think it was like between 40 and 50 trees. And that's not including all the lemonade berries we put in. So quite active with the volunteers. We still have some work to do, and we appreciate the community's patience with us as we get through this program. We feel at the end, when we conclude, we'll have a very aesthetically pleasing facility, very desirable for people to come in and have their rentals, have wedding receptions and large parties, and feel like the facility is of high standard. And we feel the plant selection is, it's a mixture of native and very tolerant trees to this area. So we feel we're going to have years of good growth.
I've seen it, and it's already a good improvement.
Some of the questions were, are you going to keep the irrigation the way it is? And right now we have pop-up sprinklers, and we're in the process of repairing some of the ones that were broken through demo, and then we'll be transferring them into the drip system. So right now we're in transition of repairing the old and then converting it into a drip system as opposed to a pop-up. And I think the next big wave will begin in early November with the CCC crews again. So they'll have not a whole lot of time over there, but I think they're going to have one more round over there to get us, just to keep the program going and keep the momentum I think we have right now. The other question you had was regarding Lila Kaiser Park, and Lila Kaiser Park is something that we've had on your status report for about a year now. We have applied for unallocated grant funds that were dedicated to the city from the state, local grants and local Office of Grants and Local Services, pardon me, and that per capita grant has remaining $70,000 allocated to the city, but not allocated to a particular project. We developed a project at Lila Kaiser Park, have submitted all of our paperwork, and we are in 7 years, so it's shy of the 10-year requirement. We've been trying to get a 10-year requirement or a land lease agreement in perpetuity out of the power plant for the 12 months that we've been working on this. We've been unsuccessful. Currently, the power plant's changed hands a couple of times, and when ownership changes, those who are leaving are really obligated not to get into any long-term contracts, basically. So the folks that are in transition, that are selling the company, they won't get us. We can't get a lease agreement that's 10 years or more. So there's really some legal battling going on, if you want to call it battling. It's basically we're just caught in the middle right now of some pretty big fish swimming. So we have taken a back seat because this money is going to run out at the end of June 2011. The state would like us to spend the $70,000 if we were to get this project approved by the end of this calendar year. That way all the paperwork and all the accounting and the closing of the project can happen successfully within the next 6 months. We don't feel we'd be able to do that even if we were allocated the money now. If we could get the money a little bit outdated, and that would warrant an updating, and the particularly the one at Tylands Park. We were looking to improve some of the playground equipment that's around the concrete ship, but leave the ship intact. We'd do some upgrades to it to make it safe and compliant, and then we would add some different features around it to complement the whole theme of an imaginary pirate park. So we don't want to lose the theme of what we have started at Tidelands. I think that's very important. I don't think we want to put in a bunch of slides and swings. I think we want to keep it imaginative. We want to keep kids thinking and role-playing and so forth, and hopefully we can get some equipment in there that would help facilitate that. That's part of our plan as far as the $70,000 from the state, because that is an unallocated fund that we can still have access to as long as we have a viable project. The Kaiser project is very, very important to staff. I don't feel we should give up on it. I think that there are elements of that project that we can still address in-house, and I would bring your attention to the part of the project that is reconditioning the playing surfaces and the turf areas, which basically brings the turf down to about an inch, really surface, so we don't have a lot of gopher holes and undulating turf that's not really consistent with safe softball play. And that is about $24,000. So out of the $70,000, we were putting a pretty good chunk into refurbishing the turf. And the other big ticket items were replacement of the bleachers. And we're looking at about $24,000 to $25,000 there. But I would steer you, we may want to think about some different funding for the reconditioning of the field. I'm certainly looking for different funding for other elements that are on this list. But I would bring up the turf because we do have on your agenda later this evening requests for park and lieu funds for irrigation upgrades at various parks. And it may be something that we could tie in to that particular project before it goes to council for final approval. So I would bring your attention to that as we get into that conversation a little bit later. Any other questions regarding the Kaiser project and the grant funds?
So it's it sounds unfortunate that this isn't going to come together.
The park and loop funds can be used to enhance public parks and facilities, and that's basically what we want to do. There are subdivision fees for contractors called the Quimby Act fees. And these are put into our park and lieu, our park fee fund, something like that. And then there's a 500 account. They'll roll over each year. It's allocated for just park enhancements. We've been using the funds down at Centennial Parkway. We use them for Mariner Park. We're using them right now for the development of the CEQA for the Teen Center project. So they're used for, just like I said, parks and building enhancements.
So when we're talking about it tonight, is there a way to put that on, or are we voting on some tonight?
We are voting on, we are requesting a little bit later parking loop funds for the upgrade of the irrigation controllers.
Oh, okay.
And I'll get into detail on that particular project, but I think there may be some room since you've addressed this issue now, it is on here, is that you don't really need to come back as a future agenda item because your recommendation would be either to spend the money or not.
The material you guys are going to use to do it in-house or?
No, we would outsource this particular, we're going to be outsourcing all of this work.
Okay.
When it comes to regular maintenance and small projects, we're going to be on board. When it comes to larger projects that need to get done at a specific time, we can't allocate the resources for that dedicated amount of time, so it's better for us
still
to outsource.
Is that still going to be a Kikuyu turf area, or is it?
I don't think we're going to be able to get rid of the Kikuyu completely. So,
you're just going to basically change the elevations of it to drain properly and try to keep it level,
right?
And safe.
And safe is a big thing.
Yeah.
Right now, we have softball tournaments lined up for next year, starting last weekend in May and going through October. We only have two open weekends at Lila Kaiser for next softball season, which is incredible. We've got, like I said, over 12 tournaments already scheduled for 2011. So it's really imperative that we work on this park. It's a major cash cow. We bring people in. It's an economic engine for this community when we bring in 22 teams for a tournament and they're filling hotels and restaurants. We'd like to toot our horn every once in a while. That's in their areas. you have to have an attractive facility and a safe facility and one that looks like we care about it. And this $70,000 would have gone a long way. So we're kind of scratching now and trying to keep ahead of things. And I think that immediately we want to address the turf areas, and we also want to address the bleachers, which are insufficient. And it's going to be big, and I'll have to find some money for that. And maybe parking lot as well. I'd like to come back with some numbers. I haven't crunched those numbers to go forward to council, but right now the balance is somewhere around $180,000. But that's kind of a misleader because some of the money there is already allocated to some of your current programs. You've got $30,000 going over to the teen center for a couple of things we're doing there. You've got some outstanding monies that haven't been spent yet on the Centennial Parkway project and also the Mariner Centennial Combination project. So there's some things that are still kind of out there hanging. So I want to make sure we crunch the numbers and we're right on with it. But I think those two are the biggest things that we need to address. On this list also was the scoreboards and the foul poles and some safe padding for the fencing. And so we'll have to address those as resources become available. But there's a couple of big ones that we want.
Okay. And then we'll move on to unfinished business. Yeah?
Yes, I've got this one, Chair Crowley. Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you, and good evening once again. Generally, when we discuss items here and we make recommendations and it goes to City Council, we don't hear back. And so I'm taking this opportunity to bring it back to you and tell you what happened at Council. So at your regular meeting of September the 28th, you discussed the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park. And through your discussion, you heard comments from the public. Based some of the decisions on what you heard, either in this room or at the meeting or through the staff report or just through personal experience. The commission agreed that the major concerns currently with the dog park after about 6 or so months in running were some of the noise from dogs barking and loose dogs in the park proper. Which means outside of the off-leash dog area, just dogs running loose. You made recommendations to the you recommended the modifying the hours of the operation and monitor the park at certain times. You recommended the increase of enforcement of current city regulations for dogs off the leash. Your recommendations included modifying the north fence line to address sound transfer to Island Street, add vegetation between the dog park and the creek for sound control, you requested staff to meet with the Morro Bay Pups and Island Street residents to kind of mediate a little round table, if you will, or discussion. And you also recommended improvements for the signage at the dog park and also on the parking lots. Well, council took your recommendations at their October the 11th meeting, and they heard public comment as well. And it was very similar to the public comment that you heard at your meeting. About half for, half against, you know. But I think the underlining message was that everyone appreciates the park. Nobody appreciates loud barking off-the-leash dogs running wild. And so I think that they came back with some direction to staff, and I'd like to outline their direction to staff, which was to improve the signage at the Thank you. This is a really, really, really rough draft of a map that we're thinking about. You've all seen interpretive panels. And maybe you've gone to a park or an area that has a map that describes the area that you're getting ready to enter. And staff felt that instead of putting another sign up that says dogs off on a leash or, you know, no barking, whatever the message is to transfer that message into a map. So this map would say, welcome to Del Mar Park. It'd be at each parking lot. It'd be two signs. And it would basically welcome you to the park and show you where you're at. Now, I use a Google map for this one. I'm going to get a little bit more creative and have an animated map more of a topo, kind of a cartoony one that people can relate to and kind of see, here's a grove of redwood trees, or here's the playground equipment, or here's the restroom, here's the off-leash dog area. So understanding where you're at in the park will help people, I think, leash their dog before they get there. And that'll be our message. Below this particular picture, you just see a cut and paste of the city ordinance. Pretty dry, not very, but I think that people would stop and look at a map, appreciate the effort, and read the message as opposed to walking by a sign. And I'm hoping that you all would agree that's a good direction for the signage that we're looking for. We're looking to improve the signage, and I think more signs doesn't necessarily mean an improvement. But I think a map and it's something that's interpretive panels are very expensive. They can cost $2,000 up, but something that we can design in-house and then get manufactured through maybe an internet company and bring it back, or even a local company and put it out, would be a good start. We also want to improve the signage that's at the entrance as well. It might be a blowing up of what's there now, or just a complement for those signs to illustrate the rules. The second item of direction was to research, for staff to research the possibility of sound testing and associated costs with sound testing. And I have some resources to help me out. I talked with the county, and they've got a couple of resources that they've used when they were doing some sound testing at various parks in the county, which means the Templeton Park, which is adjacent to a residential, and I think they also did El Choro Park. So I have some of those. It comes from some traffic. So it really is it can be rather diverse, but we're going to look into seeing what the price is for that. We are working with the police department to increase enforcement at Del Mar Park and also Lila Kaiser Park. We have a meeting with the commander November the 4th, I believe, in the afternoon. We'll be training. I'll be retraining my administrator citation knowledge, and we'll be indoctoring a few other folks, our maintenance superintendent and various maintenance folks that are out there who will be, after our training, be able to write an administrative warning or an administrative citation to anybody who's violating city ordinance in a city park. We do not want to become the enforcement strong hand that we're out there writing tickets every day. Idea is to say, hey, we have the ability to give you a warning first, and a second violation would be administrative citation accompanied with a fine. But I think what the message we want to get across is that we want to inform people that it's important for you to have your dog on a leash, not for your reasons, for someone else's reasons. They're scared of dogs. They've got young dogs off a leash, particularly Del Mar, and also dogs at Lila Kaiser who are on the ball field off a leash. That's not a dog park. It's when we have signs at Lila Kaiser now, no animals on the field, but yet we still get animals on the field. Maintenance staff are the only ones present. They don't have the ability to confront people with a warning citation, and now we're going to equip them with the power to do that. And hopefully, our message will get across in a positive way, in an informative way, and we won't write any citations. And I'll be very happy about that. But I just want to let everyone, I made an announcement last night at the council that we will be starting this this enforcement, and we will have trained staff throughout our maintenance crew, and we will be out there, and we will be engaging the public in a positive way. And that's what we're hoping, just to get the message through education. The last couple of things that council directed staff to do would be to request Morro Bay dog park during busy times of the day. And I'll say that just recently I received two emails from the president who agreed to be a docent, and what it takes to be a docent, and what kind of expectations they have and how to assist people out in the park. So the information is getting out there. The Morro Bay Pups is trying their best to recruit people to be docents. They're trying their best to communicate with the public. They do a great job with their memberships. They've got a nice little e commerce that goes through. Everyone gets the e-message. It's passed out. So there's a lot of work with the Morro Bay Pups out there. They also have a volunteer tag. So if you decided to be a volunteer or a docent, you get a tag, a badge, pardon me. And on the back, it isn't just this. On the back, they've got phone numbers, key points for a docent, important contacts, like the vets and the police and emergency pet care. So it's really a thought-out little badge here. So you can see that the effort, and this is just a scratch in the surface of the effort that the Morro Bay Pups has put in. So I appreciate your guidance and allowing us to continue working with them, and council seeing the importance of this community partner as well. And I think we're doing a really good job, an excellent job in addressing some of the issues that have come up. The last, and that'll be a memo that'll go to council, and I'll also send a copy to the Recreation Parks Commission. That concludes my update on this unfinished business. I'd be happy to return it back to the commission for any questions.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Do we have any questions for this update or follow-up?
No, I'd say staff's doing a great job. You know, I appreciate the fact that we don't want to just have a bunch of parks full of signs, that we're trying to do this in a very attractive way. And, you know, just get all the citizens out there to cooperate and follow the rules, and everyone will be happy. So please cooperate. Thank you.
And I'm happy to report that the police chief was out there on, I believe it was on a Monday, and he was issuing warnings, which worked very good, because I think he issued 6 warnings within the hour. And the ones that have that fault of not putting their dogs on a leash, I see them now coming to the park with their dog on a leash. I believe that there are some other trainees that have been out there warning. So I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'd like to add the maintenance work.
Sheriff citations, I'm still on ticket number 1101. So I have not written a administrative citation yet. And I hope, and I don't have to, but I'm hoping, and our intent is to educate, if it's not through everything that we've been doing, at least through a warning that, you know, it's not that tough to abide by the rules that we have out there. So I'm very hopeful that we'll be successful, and the community will have minimal impact, and everyone will start enjoying the park just a little bit more.
I also like the fact that the Morro Bay Pups are so organized and really on it and quick with their response. It just shows how much they really care and they want to make a difference and make it work. And
oh, they're
great.
Here for the long haul, and I think that they've illustrated that. They're here for the long haul. They will address any issue that comes up. They'll meet it head on. They've been very open-minded. They've been very willing to work with the various groups, the residents, staff, anyone. So they're very committed, like you said. That concludes the report. If there's any other questions, there's no action other than to accept for file.
Okay. John, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'd like a motion to accept this.
Yeah,
for file.
I'd make a motion to accept for file.
Unfortunately, Chair Crowley, this staff report was not available for tonight, and we're asking the commission pull.
Okay.
This item was pulled from your agenda.
Okay. Then we are on, where are we? D3?
Two.
D2, review of public art proposal for the bus shelter at City Park.
Thank you, Chair Crowley and Commission. This item is brought to you by procedure. Basically, you have an applicant in the Morro Bay the Morro Bay Public Art Foundation, and then when they request public art, it goes through a particular procedure. And the first procedure is to submit appropriate paperwork to include the artwork to the city manager's office. And the criteria in the application is to submit photo plans, a model, or the proposed donation, technical description of the work, any special care, maintenance, mounting, or display requirements, resume of the artist, and statement of the value of the proposed donation. Those 5 criteria have been met. city manager has then requested review of the advisory boards. And like he had mentioned, this is the first time they've gone through this particular procedure. Commission's gone through this procedure once before. If you remember, we approved or recommended approval and was later approved by council the peace pole that is now in front of the library. And that was done, I think it's been a year now since the peace pole's been in. And that was dedicated to Jude Long. So that was the only other art proposal that you've looked at. This particular art proposal is one of kind of a restoration of existing. There's not really a new art item coming in. It's basically your bus shelter getting a paint job. But not just any other paint job, a very elaborate, dedicated to, you know, sea life inside and outside with special treatments. The Art Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's presenting this to you. The local artists are Kim Hickson, Ann Godsey, and Jeff O'Dell. I'm sorry, I got those names incorrect. But they'll be the ones coming in and doing the design and the painting of this particular bus shelter. I did speak to bus shelters throughout the county. Those bus shelters, if you can look at it, about $10,000 a piece is what I think they're going to be averaging. And they won't be more than just, you know, a little roof and four posts to hold it up. No bus shelter that I know of, maybe one or two out there, that provide as much shelter as our shelter. Because it's got these concrete walls around it, and it really does protect you against the elements, particularly the wind and the rain. So to keep the structure intact is very diligent as far as the staff's response, and to get it painted is going to be great. I definitely support this particular project and what they presented. Staff is prepared to assist if we need to, but we don't expect to have any other funds dedicated other than city staff time to file this paperwork and to go through the procedures, but we're not allocated any city funds out of the general fund to address their needs. As Neil Farrell had mentioned earlier, he'll be seeking funds from the RTA and other donations. So the general fund rights in the prep work, there may be some small coordinations like that. There may be barricades and maybe some other benches we can bring up for temporary use. I have to meet with RTA. If we continue with this, what kind of a temporary structure can we put up? What does it need to look like? How do we comply? What's the timeline? You ask, how long does it take to paint this? That's a pretty big question, because you're going to be disrupting a lot of the transit activity that happens at that bus shelter. So that's something we take very seriously when we start displacing folks from their usual environments like that bus shelter. So once we go to city council, we'll be able to flesh out some of those concerns as far as the timeline and what we're going to do as far as the temporary structure. So there'll be conditions on to, I would imagine we would have to issue some type of permit for them to be working on city property. We'll have to deal with probably volunteer applications, so these folks are covered, and we're covered while they're working on our site. We've done that in various other groups. When we did the library mural, everyone who worked on the mural signed a volunteer application, so they were city volunteers, and they were covered under our insurance. We did enough to actually put the design in, and what is their track record on other murals? Have they been able to put a good finish on them? Have they been maintaining them on an annual basis? If there's been deterioration or any vandalism, have they been responsive? And I think those questions have been answered, and they have a good track record. Some of their particular statements that they have done plenty of this work around town. They have been diligent about addressing any vandalism. It's been very, very minimal at most. And they're very committed to keeping the artwork looking good for years to come, and I think that that's the proof is out there that it isn't just the words on this proposal, but it's actually the type of work that they've done, and we've seen them do in the past. So I would say that to the commission, this particular group, the Morro Bay Public Art Foundation, has met the criteria set forth in our policies. They have submitted this for your review and are looking for a recommendation from this commission for council to either approve or deny. And if you so I turn it back to the commission. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Do we have any discussion about this?
I really like the idea of it. Don't use the bus, but I have seen this particular little area they're talking about. I love art, especially when it has an ocean view, an ocean sight, and I think it's very appropriate for it. And yes, I would really love to see it. I'd love to see this done. I think it would add an addition to our little cute city that we have here. And some of the artists I have heard about. I don't know how many of you have gone to Cayucas, but if you notice on the pier, right where the bathrooms are, there's a mural out there, and it's a seascape, and I think it's just beautiful. So this would add to our little city in Morro Bay.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I would recommend or add that they include a timeline or a deadline to get the painting done.
May I make a comment on that?
Sure.
If you're asking for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or months in order to get enough funds, and maybe a condition was the project shouldn't start unless enough funds are in the bank to start. We did the very similar thing with the Morro Bay Pups. Can't start the dog park unless you have enough money. You have to show us what it's going to cost and show us how much money you have. So in order to collect this donation of art, which is basically going to be supplies and labor, and most of it labor, and say, hey, show us that you have all your supplies and you're ready to go. And then from that point on, it's going to be, you know, so many months or a month to complete it. So we want to be careful. We don't want to restrict them to the point where they just said, forget it, we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But give them opportunity to say, hey, can you guys get your resources together? And when you're ready, then you can start. But you just can't prep it and start half painting it and then run out. And then we've got a half-finished project. And I think that's something we want to avoid.
Yeah, I was thinking more about how you start projects and painting, and it can just go on and on and on and on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a high-traffic area. It just seems wise to me to set like a manageable deadline, a couple weeks or whatever, just so that people in the city would feel comfortable knowing that, okay, this is going to be done at such.
How we accept donations, we're very appreciative, but we're also very careful. Because once we accept it, as a policy, we own it. So we want to be careful. So I think that's due diligence in itself.
I think that Neil mentioned that there would be a different location, obviously, that would be coordinated with the RTA. And it seems like there's enough room in that area to have that, you know, temporarily work. There was one question that when he was with his public comment, he was saying something about the artwork coming up from the floor also, but it's not on the pictures. Or is that my mistake? He said the whole scene.
Yeah, I believe what he said is it would continue up onto the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
But you couldn't see it because these pictures don't show the ceiling.
Yeah, it would start at the floor level, but not on the floor.
Okay.
So at the base of the block, and then up, and then all the way through. Way back in the day, we had, it had been the Bayside Cafe. Way back when it was just the walk-in, they had the ceiling painted like you were underwater. I think that's kind of a theme that they're going for, but a little bit more serious than Bayside.
I think it's appropriate.
I've been saying, is there any more detail on this design so we can show them what it's really going to look like? I'd hate to see a few walls left open and then come back and say, well, that wasn't part of the design. We don't like it. So their idea is that this is the concept. It's not going to look exactly like this. We're going to get in there, and these artists are going to do their thing, and it's going to look different, but it's going to be the same kind of a theme, and that's public. That's what they're really pushing for. So I'll leave it at that. I've talked too much on this. Back to the commission for some action, and we'll move on.
Okay. If there's no more discussion, are we ready to make a motion to approve or recommend?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the project.
And I'll go ahead and second it.
It's going to be it would be not an approval, a recommendation,
recommendation for council's
approval.
Pardon me. I'd like to make a recommendation pending council's approval.
And I second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. That's going to be nice. The next item we have on our agenda is the request use. it's a cluster.
Yes, it is. It's also known as the Quimby Act or the Park and Loop Fund. Park and Loop Funds. But as accounting goes, we call it the Park Fee Fund. So it's all the same. It all comes from subdivision fees. And so here it is. Staff is recommending the use of the Park Fee Fund to purchase CalSense irrigation controllers, upgrades for 6 city parks with irrigated turf. Proposed upgrades will be installed at City Park, Monte Young, Tidelands Park, Lila Kaiser, the Cloisters, and Del Mar Parks. The proposed upgrades would cost about $35,000 to purchase and install. And the install is a combination of in-house as well as outsource from the company that comes in. The CalSense controllers, and we ask why we picked the CalSense controllers. They are an integral component of the City Park irrigation systems now and have been over about a decade or more. The upgrades to these systems would enable the standalone site controllers to be linked via radio. When the fog is so heavy that it's dewy, the irrigation picks that up and shuts off, and we don't water because we're getting a sufficient amount. When the wind picks up and it kind of dries out an area, the sensors pick that up, and we put a little bit more water on it on that next cycle. So hopefully that'll help out folks out there who are not familiar with a lot of intricate workings of the irrigation control systems. The city has been testing a proposed CalSense hardware and software upgrades at City Park since March of 2010. So we had a little demo going on while you guys were sleeping. And the park demonstrated a very positive optimum system reliability. The results of this test were calculated potential savings. We have potential savings for all. That's how we base all of our other savings. And our savings, we're looking at approximately 30% savings at each one of these sites, which equates to approximately $42,000 annually. So the payback for your $35,000 investment will be realized within the first year, which is, to me, phenomenal. If anything within 3 years is definitely worth doing. Within 1 year, we should jump on it. But this is potential payback and just the savings of preserving the resources and not using as much water. So it's cost less, we save water, and we have less staff time. We'll be able to control each one of the sites via the radio. My maintenance superintendent could shut down an irrigation system via his phone through an email. So we're very excited about that potential. Each park will get an enhanced management controller. I brought little visuals. And each site will have a, this is what they call the controller, which is like a termination point, I think it's called. You might want to correct me on that. They'll also have antennas at each site. And it comes with, we'll be getting probably one handheld to control. So when you went there, you could control it as opposed to a more complicated method of communicating with it. And then there's proprietary software as well. And so an overall package of not more than $35,000 to set up upgrades on parks like Lila Kaiser, huge turf. But we also want to be smart about our water and use just what we need, and we feel that this is the best upgrade that we could do. So this would be the use of park and loop funds or park fee funds, and your recommendation, we go to council for their final approval for staff to utilize those particular funds. And that concludes my report, please.
Okay. Well, if I may ask, who initiated this awesome technology? They deserve credit for this.
We're going to shift credit to the maintenance superintendent, Mike Wilcox.
Nice.
He is very diligent about his work. He and I met a year ago when he first came on board, and part of our plan was to reduce fixed expenses, which means electrical and all utilities, and includes water. So the two big projects that he's got going on now will be this irrigation, but right now he's doing the energy efficiency program or project, and well, he's replacing lamps and light fixtures, HVAC units, refrigeration units, and so forth throughout the city. And that's a $55,000 grant coupled with about $100,000 loan. So we're somewhere around $140,000-$150,000 energy efficiency program, which, and that payback is going to be about a little more than two, I think closer to 3 years payback as far as our capital outlay and our savings. And those savings are actually rolled right into the loan. So installing this particular system, and we just feel that the savings are going to be huge when we go to larger areas of irrigation.
Do we have any of these systems in one of the parks right now? I mean, since it said it's been tested.
At City Park, we've tested it. It's been in there since March.
Okay.
And we've saved, he's estimating somewhere around 30%. That's a conservative number, and we want to make sure we're conservative and we don't go too far out and say, hey, we're going to save 80% water, and we come up saving 30%, it doesn't look so good. So we're very conservative with our numbers. We're very cautious in approaching this, and we felt like this system, through the testing, is going to be the best system for us.
So it's almost like if it rains, the sprinklers won't go on.
That it automatic shutdown.
Yeah.
It has a rain bucket that collects, lets you know how much. It's almost its own little weather station. It tests the wind. It knows which head is producing how many gallons per minute, and it'll either extend that another couple, 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes, or reduce it by halftime.
Well, I think it's great.
So, yeah.
Pretty smart control is very reliable so far.
I do have that in my yard.
And we will be able to shut down Art in the Park. We're really excited about getting into it. Just a matter of time and getting it in front of you and explaining what we're going to be doing and what we want to do. And we feel it's a worthwhile program.
Sounds good to me. I'd like to make the recommendation you take the City Council for approval then.
Okay, do you have a second?
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. So, are there any future agenda items?
Can I bring the chair back to item D4, please?
Oh, sure. D4 is Recreation and Parks Department Program Evaluations. And for that, I'd like to hand it over back to Joe.
Thank you, Chair Crowley and Commission. I just want to keep talking all evening. That's my plan. No, I'm sorry there wasn't any public comment, but you've got me, and I'll try to get through these three evaluations for you in a timely manner. Thank you. The first one is the Kids Camp Program 2010. This program includes staffing. The expenses are staffing, rent for the room, which is out of Del Mar Park, supplies, first aid, uniforms, and so forth. What's not included would be T-shirts, $10,758. Gross revenues at $3,641. That is a cost recovery of 105%. We take it a little bit further down the line, and we talk about the cost allocation as far as the support costs, and the numbers for the children participating for the entire 7 weeks, and this is an estimated amount, and it's a flexible enrollment. but based on something, we have $175.27 it costs per child for 7 weeks. It's about $25 a child per week for support. That means registration, development of flyers, marketing, publicity, and so forth. That's all included in the administrative cost. The total cost allocation based on the 120 children for 7 weeks is $21,000. So it's a pretty big estimate. Program plus the support costs are up to $87,000 and some change. The net revenue will be a minus $1,700. Cost recovery does drop to 80%. And I believe this particular cost recovery program is at 70 to 79% targeted cost recovery. You're looking at this, another $10,000. So we're probably in the black, about $8,000. But we'll have more detail for you next year as well. Kids Camp is a summer program that's for children entering first grade through sixth grade. Operates 7 weeks during the summer. And that's from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. 2010 summer break was reduced to 7 weeks. It was a decision by the Coastal School District, which included extending the spring break to 2 weeks. So we lost a week in the summer, but we gained one in spring. So we usually run an 8-week program, so your revenues are a little bit different. This did have a little bit of an impact on our revenue and expenditures, but that was fairly minimal. Kids Camp employs about 35 staff members each summer, and approximately 10 are appropriated to counselors in training, CIT program. And that's reserved for high school kids and students in a specialized job training program that's to implement for these particular students. So not only is our staff out there presenting a program of services for the community for the smaller kids, first through sixth, but also job opportunities for those who are in the sheet. Put them back to back because I wanted to save money. I wanted to save paper, but I also wanted to tell you about the evaluations that were coming in and not just explain it, but actually show you some of these evaluations. And it's just hard to find something negative in here. I think there's maybe one or two comments. We're already some difficulty with registration. But all in all, the high percentage is folks, our parents explaining what a fantastic job staff has done, a positive, energetic staff that we've created, and it's based on the selection of the students and the training that they get. And Heather Salyer-Frith and her staff do a tremendous job in getting these young people ready to take on first through sixth graders for the summer. And it can be tough on someone that's their first job as a counselor, but they get really good training, and we emphasize quality, and it shows in the evaluation. So I'm always appreciative of the type of program we put out there and the quality of a program. And this 7-week summer program is the highlight to a lot of Camping Under the Stars, and we did a camping overnighter at the state park, and the state park rangers helped us out. Roshana came and did a demo and a campfire that evening, and then it was a day camp still, so everyone, you know, basically it was over, and those families who wanted to stay could stay. And we took over the group day area, and we turned it into an overnight camp for our families. So it went really well, and I'm hoping we can do it again next year. That concludes my report on Kids Camp 2010. I'd be happy to answer any questions on this before I move on to the next one.
Well, I've looked at a lot of the comments parents made, and it looks like everybody did have a great, fun summer, and that's wonderful. Even though I don't have kids, I like kids.
Right on.
I like the one where the parent put down she felt comfortable leaving her child there because she felt it was safe.
Yeah, several yes. mentioned how safe they felt leaving yes. their children there, which is kudos to the staff, all your hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and I'll extend that on to them.
To Heather, please.
The next item is on D4 is the Oktoberfest softball tournament evaluation. Program cost, team, for the indirect costs, which is, goes to our light fund. So every, and it's $15. And you'll see the next evaluation is a little bit higher because the tournaments are short-lived and the leagues go on a little bit longer. Total expenses for the Oktoberfest program, $2,506. Total revenues, it cost each team $250 to get in. We sold some T-shirts, $2,290. Cost recovery at 91%. Net loss, $216. This program is targeted for 100% cost recovery. We did not meet our target revenue projections, and this was for various reasons. One, the event was supposed to be a co-ed and a men's event. We ordered up awards and whatnot for both events to work out, and that was prior to our deadline to cancel. We only received three teams for the men's, and consequently, we canceled the men's section of this tournament. So all we had were the nine co-ed teams participating. So there was your loss. I'm not sure if it's exactly 216, but it's probably pretty close. They're being pulled away to other tournaments and other locations. I think Vegas might be having something that's really big this particular weekend. And so we think next year we'll just concentrate on our co-ed tournament and try to bring in some more teams and make this back up to our 100% cost recovery. I'd like to mention one item, that the snack bar was operated by the Teen Advisory Committee. It was their second time out. They're struggling with the concessions, but they are continuing to try. And then our side note, the TAC was out at the tree planting this weekend, volunteering their time. And they've been at various other locations helping out. So the TAC has certainly been out there and being present. That concludes my report on the Oktoberfest. Any questions on that? I'd be happy to open it up. Seeing none, I'm moving on to the Adult Softball League 2010. This league is held July through October. There are three nights of play. Co-ed, which is Division II, Masters over 50, and Men's Division I. We had 24 teams participating in this league. The expense, overall expenses, and I won't get into all the detail, but the overall direct cost for this $1,577. Revenues included registration as well as the additional insurance paid by a team, $12,363. Net loss, $214. I emphasize that because $214 is not huge, but it does drop us down to a 98% cost recovery. This is not a tournament. This is your league play. It is a merit service with a target revenue of 70 to 79%. The indirect costs, if we remove the indirect costs, we would be at about 102% of a net gain. So we're right there as far as 100% cost recovery. It's the direct and support costs that we're still fine-tuning. We feel the registration fees are right on the money. Our expenses are being held down to a minimal, not to sacrifice quality or safety. And we come through. We have a few recommendations there. I won't get into the details, but it's something that we take seriously, and we hope we continue to provide the quality play for the locals that come out here for our leagues. That concludes my report for softball, and it concludes D4. I'd help with any questions and ask for a motion to accept these reports for file.
And our last item tonight is a declaration of future agenda items.
Staff would like to remind Chair Crowley regarding the bike committee.
Yes. I read the report, and I just was wondering if there's a possibility to add a discussion about bike racks at the beach, in particular the Morro Bay Strand entrance. There's no bike rack there, and it just seems appropriate. There's a need for families to ride their bikes to the beach, and there's no place to put the bikes. So I was thinking maybe we could bring that up and discuss that.
You're going to need to get a second person that accepts that for a future agenda item.
Okay.
I accept that as a future agenda item.
Okay. And just let the commission know we'll bring something back to you regarding that. It might be on a status. It might be a report.
Okay.
That is state property. that's the Morro Strand is a state beach. State beach.
It's not even under our jurisdiction.
It's not under our jurisdiction. I would hesitate to go out and put a bike rack out there.
Okay.
Without having the jurisdiction or the authority to maintain it or take on the liability for it. But it's something that we could come back and request it from the state. Something that I could at least pursue for you and then come back with something.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Racks quite a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Quite a few years ago, but I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them lately. But we can follow up on it. That's not a problem.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I'd like to adjourn this meeting.
I second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.